Hey, guys, welcome back. We are back for another episode on the Divine Faith Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest sometimes. I am Faith, of course. It is the same everywhere you turn. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it is all the same. It has been a minute since I recorded an episode. If you caught my mini rant on YouTube, maybe a week ago, I spoke about me just not being able to get into my dashboard when it comes to my podcast. Now, it could be that the old, I guess, framework or whatever you want to call it for the podcast, or the, hosting platform, let's call it that. The old hosting platform has merged with Spotify. So that could have been why I just had some technical difficulties, but now those technical difficulties are fixed, as you guys know, because I posted about it on my YouTube, and we are here. And we know, or you guys know, that energy, digging into the spiritual realm, mysticism, and just any sort of mysteries tied to the cosmos, it can definitely be pretty heavy stuff. So, of course, I want to find a way or try to find a way to lighten up the mood when it comes to the things that we talk about here on the podcast. It definitely is a lot easier for me because I don't have to worry about recording a video until it comes down to that time whenever you guys are going to want in video format. I hope not, but it'll be just my luck. But the point of this, or at least my goal when it comes to the podcast at this particular point, is I just want it to be free flowing. I want it to be easy. I still want us to be able to learn stuff, and we're going to learn a lot of stuff. And honestly, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about may be stuff that may bore you, or may be stuff that you're just like, okay, that's a little bit too heavy. I really know if that is my, shindig. So I'll see you later. That's okay. You may decide to come back around to it at a later time. But I am stepping into a realm where I really want to try to encompass a lot of stuff. Not try to go over everything, but I definitely want it to be more than just tarot, kind of like the direction I took on my channel, which is not necessarily dead in a way, but maybe it kind of is. It could be my fault because of my use of profanity, but you guys know, whenever I'm serious about something, you're not listening, then you're going to get a cuss word or two, but that's okay. I pretty much am going in the same direction I would say that I'm going when it comes to my YouTube channel, and just diversifying my options, diversifying my portfolio, maybe, if we want to call it that. I really just want this, like I said, to be easygoing, something where you can be like, oh, okay, that was interesting. I didn't know that. And maybe you guys can learn a little bit about me in the process. You guys know that I am very private. Honestly, I'm still going to remain private, but I can give you a little bit of something, not a lot, but I can give you a little bit of something. But enough of my ranting. Let's get into it. Space with no boundaries, no bounds, yeah. Conversations with Saturn. We're out this world. I cannot tell a lie. Let's talk a little bit about the energy for the month. Now, we know that majority of the month in November is Scorpio season. That's not going to change unless somebody decides to come in and change the timing system. Doubtful. But who knows in this crazy world that we live in. So I did go ahead and pull a card out of my Starseed Oracle set. I've used this before. I don't really use a lot of Oracle cards. I'm kind of like straight into the point, you guys know that, but I did decide to pull a card out of the Oracle deck, and the card that came up was Karmic Relationships. Now, natally speaking, Scorpio is tied to the eighth house of, I like to call the eighth house the house of intimacy, because I definitely feel like that is where your intimacy goes down. That and the 12th house, because the 12th house is your bed pleasures, but also 12th house is to seek your enemies, but we'll talk about that at some point. But we know Scorpio's natal planetary ruler, even though it does have Pluto, that's secondary, but its natural or its natal planetary ruler is Mars. Mars is that passion, that fire, that aggression, Mars is quick. Mars can be impulsive. But we also know Mars is tied to, you know, sex. But also Mars is tied to scissors. So if you think about that with the karmic relationships coming into play when it comes to Mars. But our Mars placement is what we are attracted to. And we know that a lot of times what we are attracted to isn't necessarily what's good for us. Think about it. I really like sugar. Scratch that. Don't scratch that, because I really do like sugar. Candy. I love Sour Patch Kids. Really, pretty much anything soury. You have a friend in me. Okay? Because I really love sour candy. But we know, I know that too much of that is bad for me, but it's hard to look away. That is like the same concept when it comes to karmic relationships. A lot of them are bad for us, but it's hard to look away. You know, it's hard to ignore what you are attracted to. You know, there's always the buzz and there's always the drama and the constant conversations on every single podcast when it comes to people's preferences. Okay, that's fine. But sometimes our preferences have room, or should have room, to be changed a little bit. Because again, some of us have Mars in detriment when it comes to what we are attracted to. So the detriment of us sometimes could be the relationship partners that we get into, hence why we may find ourselves constantly in this revolving cycle type of door thing when it comes to karmic relationships. But collectively speaking, the world is in somewhat of a karmic relationship. What's happening is just, we could say, a manifestation of the shit that we didn't clean. Oh, see, I'm already cussing. The stuff that we didn't clean up on aisle 3 when they said clean it up. You see that you broke a bottle. You see that you spilled something. Clean it up. But we walk past it like, somebody else is going to do it. Or, you know, it's just one of those things that a lot of the stuff that is transpiring energetically is things that we need to come to terms with within ourselves, or things that we need to take responsibility for instead of making it somebody else's problem to clean up. And that is the stage that the world, collectively speaking, is in. On this card, it says that the karmic relationships is about polarity, soul growth, and conflict. So we know Mars can be at the helm of conflict because it's tied to the Greek god of Aries. So we know the Greek god of Aries is, you know, the god of war. I think Hera may be on that as well. Don't quote me on that. But either way, so think about all the stuff that's going on right now. Now, of course, I'm not saying that, you know, there's some karma that has to be dealt with. I mean, who knows? It could be. But don't get me lying up here. You know, I may tell a joke, but you know I ain't gonna tell a lie now. I'll tell you, I don't know. But just when it pertains to soul growth, when it pertains to one-to-one personal relationships, there's just a lot going on that people need to free themselves from. Because we also know with that natal Scorpio 8th house energy, that is where we go into the underworld, right? That's where we go to meet Hades. But as you guys remember, I talked about the story on my YouTube channel. Remember when we read about Hades, and it was a misconception when it pertained to going to the underworld. You know, the misconception. I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know, it wasn't somewhat of like hell or kind of like Dante's Inferno, but even in the book itself, it was talking about how, you know, this concept that they have when it pertains to hell and all this may not necessarily really be what it is once you actually get in there, you know. But it's also hard, you know, it's hard to escape out of the underworld as well, especially if you've done something that you ain't supposed to do. Don't think that you can just rebuke to the brother Zeus, and Zeus is just like, come on up here, you can get out of hell even though you murdered 25 people. That's not how it goes. So it's just simply a matter of this time, everybody's having to be held accountable, like I said, for things that they have done. And the same thing is going for relationships. Right now, it is a strain. It is conflict because people are needing to hold their partners, especially if you're not used to setting those boundaries or holding people that you're in a relationship with. If you're not used to holding them accountable for things that they've done or shoot for things that you've done to them. This is that time where it's time for you to be like, okay, maybe I was like this, or, you know, you were like this to me and I don't really like that. You know, it can go either way. So with this energy coming up tied to karmic relationships and a lot of soul growth, and we know that soul growth is uncomfortable. If we just put the spirituality aside, imagine, or just think, I'm sure you know somebody and you're just like, wow, I really wish they would just grow up. But we have to understand the fact that people are humans, and a lot of people can't handle growth. It's not one of those things where you get taught about a lot when you're in school about growing, and, you know, all that doesn't really get talked about a lot unless you, I don't know, maybe are majoring in psychology, or you have a therapist, or you were able to have a therapist during your younger years on up, whatever the situation was. It is a hard concept because it's easier to stick to the status quo. It's easier to keep doing stuff that is just normal. That's what's easy. And that's where a lot of people fall into that. And we don't get ourselves out. So right now, like I said, the world is going through that time period where it really is time to grow up. Even for the United States itself, as old as it is, what is it, like 400 years, something like that? As old as the United States is, it's time to grow up. You know, even if we just take this in a different route, we know we're in Scorpio season, so let's just natally place Scorpio on the first house. Imagine a natal chart in your mind, and Scorpio is the ascendant. So that means Taurus would be the ruler over our seventh house. And we know Taurus normally is tied to our second house of our self-worth, our identity. We know Taurus is also finance. We know Taurus is also wealth. You know, Taurus does get a little bit of flack for being lazy, but maybe it's just more so they're just nitpicky, you know, about where their energy is going. But with our Scorpio being on the ascendant, and we know Taurus is on our seventh house, so the sign after Taurus is what? Gemini. So they would say in derivative astrology, which just means just take the sign and make it the ascendant, and then you get, and then just roll around. So in this instance, like I said, since we have Scorpio as the ascendant, that would make Gemini our eighth house. We know Gemini can be the trickster, but think about this as well. What is the Greek god's name? Hermes, whatever you want to say. He was one of the only gods that can go back and forth between like heaven and hell, or Mount Olympus and the underworld. He was the only one that could do that. He was the only one that had that power. So this could be a time where there could be like a lot of expose when it pertains to people who feel that they can go back and forth between heaven and hell. But it may not be that extreme in terms of like third parties. It could be to the point where that go between heaven and hell could simply just be the person's soul, which is trying to grow, but it's too easy again to go back to what's bad for us. It's too easy to go back and continue to do the messed up way of things. So relationships is going to be tough right now. A lot of people could definitely be going through what they say like the dark night of the soul, because they're trying to figure out within themselves, is it time to grow up, or can I keep doing the same old bull crap that I've been doing for Lord knows how long? You just don't know how it's going to play out. And with that duality in a way of Gemini, kind of like that shiftiness in a way when it pertains to Gemini, that's why, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, it could be one of those things where it could be a lot of secret partners and all that good hoopla that came up. And this may be stuff that could have happened in the past, but it never came to light. And now it's coming to light. And now you're having to make a decision on, wow, even though this happened in the past, can I really trust you? You may not be doing it now, but it's the fact that you did it in the past, and I'm just now finding out about it now. That's where you find that conflict. But it also is a situation where you have to make a choice with yourself. Is it worth hanging on to? For some of you guys, it may not, because you took too long to assert boundaries and now they don't take you serious. So setting boundaries at this point may seem like a minute point. It may have to come to the extreme where you have to walk away. But we know Mars is not going to let you walk away without a fight. So hopefully it doesn't get to that level where it's just detrimental, I guess, in a way, when it comes to trying to break free, trying to leave behind hell because you want to walk towards heaven. But hell can be so tempting because it's like, oh my God, they got a gumball machine in hell. Oh, they have 8-ball pool. Oh, they have bowling. Oh, they got a water park. They don't got that in heaven. And I'm just making a joke, but it could literally be like that. Because all of your favorite things that you've grown accustomed to, even though they can be bad for you, remember, like I said, sugar, even though it can be bad for you, you can't look away. So collectively speaking, everybody's needing to grow up. Even if you think, you know, I'm good. I don't have nothing to grow up on. Okay. This Scorpio season could bring light of that. Even the Scorpio moon could bring light of that. But yeah, I just wanted to share with you guys a little bit of what I was picking up, just energetically speaking, when it comes to the cards. I haven't forgot about you ones that asked for a tarot reading, and I think Scorpio and Sagittarius won that one, I think. So those would be the two. How ironic they follow each other. Those will be the two that we are going to do an astrology reading on. The others of you did not vote, so that's on you. So if we keep doing Scorpio and Sagittarius every week, then that's what we're going to keep doing. But yeah. So let's talk about, astrologically speaking, what we're looking at. A lot of you had this question where you were curious about the new moon in Scorpio, which the new moon in Scorpio actually took place today, November the 13th, at 4:27 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, this moon ended up being conjunct Mars, which I kind of just talked about a little bit in terms of Scorpio's natal planetary ruler. But with the moon conjunct Mars and also opposing Uranus, we know Uranus is all about unexpected sudden changes. Okay, Uranus is still in Taurus right now because whenever Uranus is making a transit, it normally stays in the sign about 7 years. And I can't remember how many years Uranus has been in Taurus, but I think it may have about 2.5 more years left. I could be wrong on that time. But either way, so this is a time where drive, pushing, maybe even being a little bit forceful for a new beginning. Remember, we just talked about karmic relationships in terms of the energetic output in a way when it comes to the collective. So people are pushing. We're coming into that time where it's the holidays. People are feeling lonely, which means that people, as human beings do, you say you don't want to be around anybody, but we know that's not true. Because how can you go through this entire existence of life not having anyone and just being okay with being alone? I don't personally find that truly natural, because I think people just thrive whenever they are with other people. I feel like loneliness, it just feels like it's the fastest way to maybe cut time off of your life. And I'm not saying it has to be one-to-one personal relationships. We're just talking about family, friends, any sort of relationship. You know, it's hard to go through life and have zero of any of those relationships. And that, again, like I said, that's just my opinion on the matter. But with this opposition going on with Uranus and the moon being like conjunct, Mars, or going to be conjunct Mars, you just have to be careful. You know, like I said, about the pushiness, the erratic, the intensified, and even we know Scorpio likes to rebel. So we're never going to not put that on the board of Scorpio dues. Okay, so think about it. Rebellious energy is like, you know, a child. I They don't want to eat their vegetables. They don't want to go to bed. So what they're going to do, they're going to rebel. Or even if they get older as a teenager, it's like, you know, oh, you won't let me wear clothes like everybody else, even though you know that the clothes are too provocative for their age. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to rebel. They're going to try to do stuff behind your back, almost to the point like poking. So some of you may even feel emotionally prodded, emotionally poked, like somebody is trying to get you to react. And I would just say you have to be careful about that for the next week. We're talking about November 12th through the 18th. This energy is going to be felt from November 12th to the 18th. So you have to not allow people to stoop you down to the level that you know that you are above. And that also includes the people that you romantically interact with or platonically interact with. Okay. Now this moon, this new moon does mark the beginning of a new cycle where everyone should have the idea of mastering your emotions, or just, let's just say, mastering something about yourself. It could be mastering a new skill, but also, like I talked about before, you know, ridding yourself of burdens, ridding yourself of those burdens where they do not respect the boundaries that you have put in play. Because people are definitely going to test your boundaries over the next week. And I'm not saying that lightly. And it may seem like it's in the most extreme ways. And it really could be in the most extreme ways. You know, some of you, that junk, quote unquote, that junk, that old emotional baggage that you've been hanging on to. Some of you, it could be emotional baggage from, you know, a difficult pregnancy or just having a difficult birth, or it could be, who knows, custody. Some of you may even be a twin, or you may possibly have twins, you know? So you could, there may be some unresolved issues or emotional stuff surrounding those areas I name, even whenever it pertains to the occult, because Scorpio is occult energy as well. So some of you with this new moon in Scorpio, you may find yourself shedding skin of a part of you that was tied to the occult that you just don't resonate with anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you trying to force yourself to keep going at it, you're doing yourself a disservice. Whenever it's like, let it go, let it flow. Okay. Now, some of you, this could be a time where you may get a fresh start in terms of like your relationships, intimacy. You may find better ways to become intimate. You may have a chance to have that difficult conversation around intimacy. Personally, that stuff does, this is just me, you know, just being honest. It does make me cringe. Like, intimacy in that regard, even if I'm talking to somebody in that way, and it's just, you know, if I'm in a relationship with them, that intimacy conversation, woo, it's like a shutdown alley. I'm like, oh my God, can we like talk about this next week? Because I don't want, but you have to go to that place within inside yourself and say, you know what, why am I afraid of intimacy, or why am I afraid of having that talk about intimacy when it comes to someone I want to be intimate with? This is the stuff that needs to be rid of when we're talking about this Scorpio new moon. Now, we also do have Mercury moving into the very philosophical, journalistic, I ain't going to say talkative, because that's, well, I don't know if Sagittarius is our talkative. I'm not really keen to Sagittarius everyday persona. So maybe, I don't know. But anyway, Mercury's moving into Sagittarius, and this will be happening on Wednesday. So going back to the drawing board, learning, picking back up the books. Like if you've been putting off doing assignments or going to school or doing paperwork or getting your passport, or anything that could be tied to foreign things, then Wednesday is when you will have that urge to be like, oh my God, I got to get this done. Now, be careful to not catch yourself with falling behind on deadlines, because there's that paperwork aspect when we're talking about Mercury moving into Sagittarius. So you really got to make sure that you are on your P's and Q's. Okay, but also new ideas, exploring new places, Okay. Now, Venus will still be zooming through Libra until next week as well. So, of course, we know relationships, trying to find balance in these relationships are going to be a thing. But also, you may get lucky and attract somebody new into your life. Maybe because we know Venus in Libra, I'm at home, baby. You know, I like it here. So you may have that energy. You may finally get the cojones to tell somebody that you really like them. And who knows what they're going to say back. I think I talked about this in the 72-hour reading for water signs. So, you know, hey, hold on to that. But Mars is going to stay in Scorpio. So, of course, it's going to continue to fuel our drive and, you know, to bring about the mysteries of life. And I mean, it would probably be interesting to see what type of research is going to be dug up when it pertains to the mysteries of life, when it comes to like archaeologists or anything like that. But it also could be, I don't know. This is just a thought. I wouldn't even be surprised. I don't know why I feel like this. I wouldn't even be surprised if maybe a scary movie is up for an Academy Award and it's not just like one of those best soundtrack. We'll just have to see. This may be something that I'm peering into the further future about this, but I don't know. I got a feeling. But anyway, so another thing, you know, of course we know Mars is, you know, like war, because it's guns, it's knives. Saturn is more so mercenary, is more so military. I didn't look and see if Saturn and Mars were going to make an aspect this upcoming week. But outside of that, still with Mars being in Scorpio, you're going to see more people being drawn to crisis situations. Now, is it genuine? I don't know. Who are we to make the determination on that? But you're going to see a big push about that, you know, being drawn to crisis situations, because unfortunately there's going to be opportunities in these particular crisis situations, opportunities such as political opportunities. And I want you guys to pay attention to that, because that's exactly what I feel like what's happening in a way as well. With Mars being in Scorpio, with this new moon coming up in Scorpio, methinks that this is going to be a political cash grab when it comes to the wars that are going on. So we're going to see how that is going to play out. Now, some other things that I want to go over for the week when it comes to the astrological transits, be careful, because towards the middle of the week, next week, like Wednesday to Friday, the sun will start to, well, it's actually already doing this, but the sun is actually already opposing Uranus. Again, the planet of unexpected changes. The sun, we know, is our ego. It's also authority. It's also power. We know the sun likes to shine more so sometimes, maybe a lot of times more than other people. But with this being said, you have to be careful of irritability in relationships, because Venus will then start to make an aspect to that Sun-Uranus connection towards the middle of the week. So things probably going to be okay a little bit Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday could be when the fireworks start going off. And then it starts to seem like, oh my God, SHIT is going wrong. Okay. So we have new starts. We have a little bit of balance, charm, magnetism, but then we have to roll into the middle of the week where we have irritability coming from ego, bruised ego. So as quick as you meet them, could be as fast as you lose them. I know that doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't matter. I couldn't think of anything. But, you know, you can lose them just as fast as you met them. So if you met them in a day, you could literally lose them in a day because of that irritability from the sun. You know, someone being too shifty, somebody being too changeful. Some of you may end up meeting someone and next week they got to take off and they have to move to a different country and take a job and you got to stay behind. Karmic, you know. But don't beat yourself up about it, because who knows if you guys are going to meet again. Of course, you have to get a, you know, reading from somebody or figure it out, you know, if they're going to come back around. But, you know, I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a breakdown when it comes to what's coming up in the next week, astrologically speaking. I know I don't really talk about this a lot, but like I said, I want to incorporate some things that I haven't really got a chance to incorporate on my YouTube channel, on the podcast. So again, I hopefully you guys find this segment helpful, because I'm going to do it again, even if you don't, because it does help me, I ain't going to lie. But yeah.
This brief interlude has been brought to you by this coffee break I'm about to take. So yeah, see you in a minute. Top of the morning, girl, get high with me.
Now we're heading on over into our sign or our tarot reading portion. And Scorpio, you are up first. No, I didn't necessarily pick you guys because it is your birthday month, but I picked you guys because it was requested. So if you want to request a different sign for me to read on next week's segment, then you need to make sure that you put it in the comment. Okay? Or you can always drop me a message, snail mail, voice note, send a crow, you know, if that is like your method of communication these days, that's fine with me. But anyway, so I already shuffled the cards because I didn't want to take a lot of time on this, because I also do you guys next 72-hour readings as well. So yeah, I will just look at the highlights, I should say. So Scorpio, so already out, we have the Two of Swords in reverse and we have the Knight of Swords in reverse. It feels that you are like in quicksand. There's this energy where you want to move forward on something, but for some reason, something keeps stopping you. It could be your rational, logical thought process is taking over. Some of you, this may be in reference to a fire sign, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. It may be in reference to a parent, if you have a parent that is a fire sign. But when I see the Two of Swords in reverse, it definitely reminds me of someone who is outside their comfort zone, or they're in a particular situation that is going to pull them out of their comfort zone and they are trying to fight it tooth and nail. Okay. I am getting something about like a brother David. I don't know why it also brings up something tied to a priest, Catholicism, or just when it comes to religion. Or church. Some of you may come from that particular type of background. But with the Knight of Swords being in reverse, this gives me I'm in no rush. But on the flip side, this could represent that some of you, you're not necessarily in quicksand. You may have an idea of what you want to do, but you know now is just not the time for you to act on what you want to do. You're moving at your own pace. Because for you, you may have that energy where you're just like, where you're like, you know what, they're not going anywhere. This thing that I want to do is not going anywhere, so I'm not going to rush it. Yeah, you're healing. Some of you are still healing from some sort of a breakup. And this may be a breakup with someone who you still may very much be involved with, but you're sneaking. You're trying not to get caught out with this person because you don't want to deal with the questions. But with this Three of Swords coming in reverse, your heart is still hurt. There's still a lot of pieces that you feel like have to be picked up when it pertains to whatever this situation is. It could have been an extramarital affair. It could have just been somebody may have had a secret child, like not saying that they had a child whenever you guys are together. That could have possibly happened. or it could just be, you know, they didn't tell you pertinent information when it comes to their life. Something that should be told, because then it gives you room to make a decision and say, hey, no way, I can't deal with this. But for some, you may feel that your hands will be tied or it is tied because somebody has waited until you got deep into the relationship to reveal something that should have been revealed day one. You know, we have the Six of Wands. Yeah, some of you are definitely, I hate to say, you have your ass on your shoulders. For those of you where I said you have the energy where it's just like, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to leave me. Some of you may be putting somebody through like a torture chamber, I guess. Like you're putting this person through what they put you through. That makes sense. Not, and it doesn't have to be in a way of like they, if it was like cheating or infidelity, it could just be in a manner of emotionally, you are maybe being a little bit terrible to them, or emotionally they're being a little bit terrible to you. Okay. But with the Six of Wands coming through, some of you have to be very careful of this pride thing, because you're going to go and apply for some sort of a loan, but this loan may be denied and then you're going to look embarrassed. Some of you, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Do not spend money that you do not have. You know, it's one of those things where you have a paycheck coming in, or you have like an extra check coming from somewhere and they're saying it's going to arrive on this day, but it doesn't show up because something happened. It didn't get processed, but you've already made promises. You've already spent the money and you didn't have the money to spend. So you have to be careful about doing that, especially rolling into Thursday of this upcoming week. Okay. I'm not really seeing any major issues when it pertains to your job, but something is about to leave your life without a doubt. Something is about to be put to death. Literally, it's, we have the Wheel of Fortune and the Ten of Swords. That is my retirement pair. So some of you, you could be wanting to leave your job, go for a new job, but I hate to break it to you, I think you're going to be here for the long haul through retirement, whatever age that could be, you know, or it, some of you may decide to like leave behind your job and maybe go work for yourself. And that just may be the thing that you do, but you are, something is over with in your life and you're trying to act like you're not bothered by it. But from what I can tell, you are bothered by it. And I'm just going to clarify this Ten of Swords and the Wheel of Fortune. We have the Page of Wands and we have the Moon. Okay, yeah. Somebody lied about a pregnancy from what I'm seeing here. But some of you guys, this actually could represent this person that you had a baby with. They're not coming back. So it's almost like let the fight begin in a way when it pertains to custody, financial support, or anything like that. Feels like divorces could be finalized. Also, I'm not going to lie, family secrets. Some of you Scorpios are still plagued by family secrets that have never, the truth has never really came out. So you could be going through a time where you're just going to give up on trying to figure out what the truth is when it pertains to your family. But some sort of fight, yeah, you are definitely going through a soul growth situation. And it's more so you're leaving behind a lifestyle that you've grown accustomed to that you really don't want to let go. But with the Seven of Wands here and the Five of Wands, this really feels like that some of you, I think life, something is starting to slap you in the face, especially when it pertains to not having a family, not being settled down, or not being stable. It's like really getting to you now. Now it's just like, oh my God, you're looking around. It's like, I don't have anybody. You know, so you're a little bit worried about being alone, ending up alone, but don't panic. Don't panic, because that's going to lead to sadness. Then that's going to lead to possible depression. Don't do that. It will all work itself out. Okay. Hello, Sagittarius people across the world. It is your time. You are the second sign that I'm going to be doing a tarot reading on for the week of, well, November the 12th through the 18th, but I'll just start from the 13th to the 18th because, you know, I was thinking about doing it yesterday, but I just wasn't really feeling up to it, but I did feel up to it today. So I should have went ahead and shuffled your cards like I did with Scorpio so I can cut down on shuffling, but we're here and we're just going with it. But yeah, let's take a stab at this and see. So Sagittarius, what are you looking at for the next 7 days? I don't know. The Page of Pentacles wanted to come out. You could be worried that somebody could be using you for money or using you for their own pleasure. You know, it's one of those situations where, you know, it's like somebody just being consumed with their pleasure and it's just like, screw yours, who cares? I'm out of here. So you have to make sure that you are not dealing or being entangled with individuals like that, because it's just not really going to, it's not really helping, okay? Ten of Wands. Then we have the Nine of Cups in reverse. Some of you are stressed out, and this feels like you are beating yourself up because you're like, man, I really wish I could let this go. I really wish I could let this person go. I wish I could let this home go. I wish I could let this career go. Because you're not happy right now. You are taking on a lot of responsibilities. You are carrying a lot of burdens, and it is really taking a toll on you, especially mentally or physically speaking. Some of you may have just gotten over some sort of illness, or you could be rolling into some sort of illness by this weekend. Hopefully not. But yes, you know, in this Ten of Wands, it gives me a depiction of watch your step. So that could be what you need to be mindful of as well. Watch your step. Watch what you are saying around certain groups of people. Because some of you may very well end up incriminating yourself because you are not watching your mouth when it comes to certain people. Okay, that you're like talking to. And this could be coworkers. Some of you may end up slipping up and you may end up telling on yourself that you have possibly a second job, or that you are, or that you are working for a company and it's a complete conflict of interest and you know better. So you have to be careful to not blab your way into emptiness, I guess would possibly be the word I'm going to use. The Hermit did also come into reverse as well. So some of you at one point, you may have saw yourself building a life, being with this person for the long haul, but you're struggling to find the silver lining in this particular connection at this particular point. There's a lot of fighting. There could be a lot of arguments. Somebody is definitely not pulling their weight when it comes to housework. I'm getting something about like stolen keys, or some of you, this could really be pettiness, because Five of Swords is petty energy to me. It literally can be one of those things where somebody hides your keys. You know how petty that is. It's just like, why would you do that? Or someone could blatantly just not tell you about like somebody that called you that was important because they want to be petty, because they feel like that you crossed them, and so now they kind of want to cross you in a way. We have the Six of Swords. So for those of you, and you resonate with what I was saying about, you just don't see yourself with this person anymore. Almost like that energy of the ship has sailed. So I actually feel like you're going to get out of a relationship and get into another relationship, because there is an energy of putting the past behind you. We do have Sun in Aquarius coming through, as well as Sun in Leo. So you may be leaving an Aquarius, going to a Leo. You may be leaving a Leo, going to an Aquarius, or moving from air to fire, fire to air. It doesn't matter of the sign, okay? But yeah, the Devil. But you're not going to be able to get rid of this person so fast. Some of you, there's assets involved. And some of you guys, this doesn't have to be a romantic. This could be a platonic. This could be a family relationship where you just want to be done. You know, it has possibly gotten so bad to where you're just like, you know what? I don't think I'm really bothered if I don't see you again. I don't think I'm really bothered if you and me never talk again a day in our lives, because there has possibly been so much emotional damage that has transpired between the two of you. Okay. Some of you may be dealing with somebody who's very hypocritical, or some of you, the hypocritical energy could be coming from, maybe it is on the reverse and the person that you're dealing with left, and then they painted the picture that you and them were going to fix things, but they turned around and they got into a new relationship. Whenever they were painting this picture that I'm just not ready, I just need time. Well, obviously they did need time, because they are already moving forward towards something or someone else. You know, there's just no stability in this particular energy anymore. You know, the way that you used to look at this person in their eyes, the way you used to possibly admire them, you just don't admire them anymore. And that's the disappointing part for you. You can't trust them. You can't trust that they're going to keep their word. And some of you, I do feel that someone may disappoint you and not stick to your word, stick to their word this week, especially if they're, so let's just say broken promises. Okay, I don't think you're going to have much luck if you're trying to do something with the government or do something with authorities. I don't necessarily feel like it's going to go in your favor. I feel like it's going to go the opposite. So I'll be careful. We do have the Chariot and we have the Ten of Cups. This to me, this is giving energy of, you know, love conquers all, but it might be too late for this. That could be how you're feeling. It might just be too late for this to be saved at this particular point. Okay. But I don't necessarily think that this particular situation is completely done. Okay. There will be a moment of truth. There will be a moment of clarity that's, you know, it's like you guys are soulmates, but you're on two different pages. So I don't necessarily think that you guys are going to finish walking the same path together. But I feel like a part of you is kind of like, okay, but there will be an earth sign. I feel like that you will meet some of you. You don't really want to hear the time. It could be a couple years. I'm going to lie. Or it could be a little bit after March of next year, but yeah. So Sagittarius, that was your reading. The time is now. I know you've probably been waiting for this to happen. And this particular segment is further in the program. But I already told you guys, I have an itinerary and I'm trying to follow it to the T. But it definitely helps because it lets me know, like, okay, this is what's coming next. So I feel like it definitely helps whenever it pertains to my flow. But welcome to the Ask Faith segment, where I am going to answer you guys' questions that you left me on my YouTube. I know I asked for 5, but I took a little bit longer on those readings and stuff like that than what I expected. So I am still going to do a couple. It may necessarily be 5, but make sure that you, I guess, we're going to parking lot it, or we're going to table that and form a list. So we'll always have questions that I can do for this particular segment, no matter if one of these weeks you guys decide to ignore me and say, no, we don't want to give you any questions. So the first question that we are going to look at on this segment is from at Darkness Divine 4165. And they are interested in name numerology or name expressions. My favorite. I've been saying this since the beginning of time. This just lets me know that you guys, either you just completely ignore what I say, or maybe I'll just give you a pass. But one of my favorite apps that I use on my phone almost daily is called Name Numerology, I think. Or it may just be, it's Pocket Numerology, excuse me. Name Numerology is actually the website, part of a website that I'm going to recommend in just a second. But Pocket Numerology, I have the free version. unless I paid for the, I may have paid for the pro version. I think the pro version was like $3.99, but the free version is just as good as well. It's in the App Store. It should be on Google Play Store as well as iOS. But it has the number 9 on the front, and it kind of looks like a book, I guess. But yes, it's really great. You can put in your name, birthday, and it can break it down to like your life path number, your purpose, your destiny number, which I feel like are really good. But I'm pretty sure you're wondering in the realm of finding a name that suits your numerology, which, you know, there are definitely good names and bad names. Even if you didn't know anything about numerology, you could probably take a guess, or you probably have a couple names in your mind and you're just like, that is the worst name that a parent could come up with for this poor child that has to walk through life like that. Why would you do that to them? And of course, you know, at the time, the parents were just like, what a cool name. And, you know, they may regret it later on. But we all know a few. We all know a few. We're just like, what were you thinking? But names are important. And again, even outside of a numerology and a spirituality standpoint, think about it. Your name is normally the first thing people kind of sort of remember. You know, your name is normally the thing that people say. You introduce yourself with your name wherever you go, work, school, friends, and it's an energy. Think about it. You keep saying it, you keep saying something so many times, it becomes an energy. That's why the name is so important. That probably may be one of the most important decisions that you make, even whenever it pertains to if you decide to get married. I'm not saying, you know, that's a definite, but even then, because then your name changes to whatever their last name is, and now you have a different energetic footprint. The name is an energetic footprint. Just like the fourth house on your natal chart and your ascendant, and probably your moon, is your energetic footprint. It's all connected. And you don't want to be out here and you have a name and they say it and it's just like there's nothing in the air. There's no energy. There's no fire. There's nothing. It's just nothing. It's bland. I'm not interested. You know? But, you know, it can, honestly, it can make or break a business. It really can. You guys have seen me do it before where I broke down the numerology of businesses, certain ones that I've did just astrologically speaking, and we've read it on the guy, and it's just like, this is not a good name. And lo and behold, the outcome of the business ends up matching up with the definition of the number, you know? But, you know, to continue forward with this particular question, like I said, I mean, it's just one of those things where, of course, you get in the app, you have to play with it, but you really need to figure out what your numbers are. So there is, I mean, of course, your life path number, of course, we know your life path number is important, but there is this website and it's called luckynamenumerology.com. Now there is a hyphen in between each word. So it's lucky-name-numerology.com. That is exactly where I started, in a way, when it pertains to the name numerology in terms of calculating it. So I'll give an example. For me, I am a life path number 1. And how do you get your life path number? You add up the month you were born, the day, and the year, and you have to reduce it to a single digit. If you have a master number, like, what, 11, 22, 33, okay, but I still want you to reduce it down to a single digit so you don't overcomplicate things. I don't like complication. You guys should know that by now. Complication, it would be the death of me, okay? So, for me, I'm a life path number 1, but you also need to pay attention to the day that you were born. Because you won't be able to figure out your numbers via this website if you don't know. See, I was born on the 18th day. So I need to break down the 18th to a single digit, which would break it down to a 9. So my numbers are 1 and 9. So on this website, you scroll down And if you scroll down, look on the left, it shows it has like 1-1, 1-9, 2-1, 3-9, 4-1, 5-9, etc., etc., etc. Now, some of the numbers on here is not really showing on the side, but you just have to like click through other numbers, and then it normally has like a list on the next page of other numbers, you know. But I guess these are just maybe the common ones that they get a lot. So in here, I'm going to mine, which is I'm a life path number one. So your life path number needs to be the first, and then your day number needs to be second. So I'm life path number one, and my birthday is 18 or 9. So I'm a 1 and a 9. So I go on this website and I go down to the bottom, and it has date. It has it doesn't matter. It has like day number and life path number. So I actually need to go to the 9 one. It's been a minute since I did this. I was like glued to this site for maybe like 6 months, and then I just haven't used it in a while, but I just got comfortable with the numerology part. So I go down to, I went to the 9, and so now I'm here. Lucky tips for day number 9 and life path number 1. So I clicked on that, and you have an excerpt. They'll give you a little bit of a breakdown of what your numbers mean and what could be good careers for you, etc. And then if you scroll down, there's like a table, and it has your lucky numbers. So my lucky numbers are 9, 5, 1, and 6. So whenever I use the numerology app, let's say, for example, my business or my spiritual business is called the Divine Faith. Okay, it was Divine Faith Tarot, but you know, it's Divine Faith. Both business names are fine because they both coincide with my lucky numbers. Divine Faith Tarot added up to number 9. The Divine Faith adds up to number 5. So I'm in the wheelhouse. I was intuitively on it. I just knew it, that was going to be okay. So you have to do the same thing. So whenever you go to the numerology app, you click on business names and you just fill in a name. You don't have to do birthday. Just pick a name. It can be a stage name and a pen name or whatever it is that you want to do. It needs to add up to your lucky numbers or this is a bust. And just because something adds up to your lucky number doesn't always mean it's like super, super great, because we still have to roll over and look at the definition of the number. So after you do the business name on the numerology app and you get the number, then you can go to my website and go under the astrology resources tab, and you're going to click on the nameology guide, and it has every number broken down. I think all the way to like 120, something like that. So ain't no way in hell you should not be able to find what you're looking for. So I just stopped on a random number, 86. Okay, so what is that? 15. Okay, which breaks it down to a literal 6. So I guess that would be a lucky number for me. No, it's not 15. I can't count. That's 14. 14, which breaks down to a number 5. Still works for me. But I don't know the definition of it. But for example, in here, number 86 is tied to Saturn and Venus, of course, because number 8 is Saturn, 6 is Venus. But this number brings benefits from friends. They enjoy the support of the government and influential persons. They work hard to greatness and progress. They accumulate a lot of money. Their life is comfortable. They are dignified and virtuous. They get the help of many people. The later part of their life is better than the first part. They get money from women. They become famous after a lot of sufferings, and thereafter they live happily ever after. So you kind of see how that one's not too bad. I mean, you got to get past the point that the first part is probably not that great. But you see, and hopefully you were able to follow my example with that, because that pretty much is what it is. You have to pick the name that coincides with your lucky numbers. If your lucky numbers are 4, 7, 3, and 1, why the hell are you picking one that's a 9? 9 is Mars. Obviously, Mars is not really a lucky planet for you, or otherwise it would be in that lucky number. So you getting a Mars rule number, you're asking for trouble. Seriously, you're asking for trouble. You're probably asking for litigation. You're probably asking for scandal. You don't want that. You want life to be smooth. You want life to be easy in some form, shape, form, or fashion. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, but take some of the burden off yourself and pick a damn good name. You know, and I know you don't want to be anal, even if you're marrying somebody and you do the name numerology and you're just like, oh my God, you know, my first name with your last name is abysmal and it sucks and it just seems like doom and gloom if I take this name. I don't want you to be anal like that because, of course, if you really like them, then I get it. I ain't gonna lie. I don't know. If I married somebody and I didn't really care for the numerology of the last name, I'd probably keep my last name or hyphen. The hyphen probably may help me. But really not really because I'm just saying, some people are like that. I know in India, this is a big thing. When it comes to names, it's a big thing, okay? So they're pretty, you know, strenuous about this. Before the born, all that good stuff, okay? So this is a good tool to use. Like I said, any business. And the same thing goes social security numbers, cell phone numbers. I look it up when it comes to that. Cell phone numbers especially because there are certain numbers, you know, your cell phone number, especially if you have a business, if it adds up to, let's say, a Venus or a Jupiter, and it coincides with what's lucky for you, that's really good because you're going to have a booming business because people are going to keep ringing that line, you know? So even your house number, and I can share an example. Growing up, I grew up in a 5 house number. The number 5, that was my house number for my entire life up until maybe like 16, and then we moved to another house, but we had been in that same house for maybe 13-14 years, and I had the most fun. We always had like people over, and our neighbors, you know, they were always cool, and it was just everything was flowing. You know, family would come down. They would stay at our house. They didn't even care if they had to sleep on the floor. It was a vibe. It was so cool. And I have some of the best memories in that house. But then, when I got in my adult years, I moved to a 2 house. No bueno. Because 2 is not in my lucky number. And I didn't know anything about numerology. But looking back, I see how it was the most emotional time of my entire life came whenever I was living at a 2, and then I moved to a 4, and I was at a 4 house for a while, okay? And 4 is not a lucky number of mine, okay? 4 is tied to the sun, but also I took it a step further and I looked at my 4th house. My 4th house is like packed with outer planets, but it's Capricorn energy, so it was very, I don't even know how, it was kind of dark. I ain't gonna lie to you. That Capricorn energy can be kind of dark. It wasn't warm. And now I'm back home. I'm back to number 5. And, you know, it just brings back memories that I had. It's like, wow, just the feeling. Like, oh my God, it just feels that way again. It's stuff like that, that we don't really pay attention to. Here's another example. Think about, the Netflix show You. Whenever Joe got married to, I forgot her name. Whenever he got married to her, look at the number of the house. Go back and look at it. The number equals 9. What is 9 tied to? Again, Mars. It's tied to knives. It's tied to death. Tied to blood. What happened in the show? If you haven't seen the show, spoiler, he killed her in the house. A lot of knife action, you know, possible threesome, I think so. What is it? Like that partner swap, something. All of that is encompassed in the 9. And so stuff like that, you're just like, wow, that is so crazy how even in the show it plays out in that way, just based off of the house they stayed in. So it is important. Numbers, you use it in that aspect every day. So if you could try to, and don't go overboard, because I know some of you guys, I'm explaining this, and you're absolutely going to go overboard because you can't help yourself. Don't go overboard. I'm just saying it's something for you to think about, something for you to kind of like look at, like, wow, I can kind of see why this was a little bit of a SHIT show. Okay. Now, let's go over to the next question. I spent too much time explaining that, but it was a lot to explain. Let me go back. So, this is from at Mrs. Butterly 7544. They want to know if a World War III is coming. If so, how close are we to it happening? Well, as the cards are saying, especially with this Four of Cups coming upright, it's kind of odd because, oddly enough, the world is depressed. Let's put it there. The world's depressed. The world's not happy. But almost in a very sick, twisted way, the world would rather have a World War III right now. And I don't know why. It's almost like right now the world is thirsty for that particular type of energy to manifest. And that's exactly what is happening. At this point, I think people, this is kind of, it feels like it is something on the board. Like, it's in a I don't know. But this also feels like, because the Two of Swords coming up as well, this also feels like an energy where the less serious people take it when it pertains to humanity, when it pertains to just globalization, when it pertains to all of that, that is the more likely that this is going to happen. And for some reason, this Knight of Cups, the way it's looking, it looks like, what was the war? Where it's like, the British are coming, the British are coming. That's exactly like the type of vibe that I'm getting here with this Knight of Cups. And the Three of Wands is clarifying him. So there's going to be some sort of hearsay. There's going to be some sort of letter. Or it may be someone gets a tip from someone else that, hey, these people are planning to attack you on this particular day. But it may not be true. And that is going to start a war. So, I'm actually getting the word destitute. World War III would probably be the worst possible thing that the entire world could go through, because I feel that it is it's just going to be so bad economically speaking, and that's why I was probably getting the word destitute. But honestly, this war is going to happen on the sea. It's not going to happen on land. And the sea is a dangerous place. The water covers a vast majority of the planet. So it almost makes me think of droughts. Okay. Like almost to the point where like basins are drying out and stuff like that. It may get to that point. It may get that serious. I hope not, but I don't rule out anything. But this is going to happen over the water. I don't think this is going to happen on land. It could, but I'm not confident in that. Like I said, this definitely feels more so like, you know, in the air or the sea. Okay? And this is going to be something that is based off of, like I said, hearsay. Or this is actually just going to be a continuation of what did not get handled. I don't know why I want to say the year 1100, which that was forever ago, and who knows what the hell was happening in the year 1100, but this is, it's a continuation of the past, but it may not be the past that people are thinking, if that makes sense. Like, you may think, oh, of course it's gonna be a continuation because we have a World War II. I don't think it's in reference to that at all. It's something completely different. So to answer your question, yeah, greed, of course. To answer your question, yes. In terms of the time period, I'm getting like 2031 or 2034. That may be off, but it feels like it's a while. But I really do feel like this is going to go for the sea, in my opinion. Okay. Let's see if there's any. We might have to save the retrograde notion for the next one. Okay. But where are we going from here? Let's take a dive, shall we, into my astrological book that I talked about at the beginning. Okay, I have not read this book in probably 2 years, but I was going through my iBooks on my phone because, of course, this is a part of my new segmental layout that we're going to read a little bit from an astrological book that I have. And I found this. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't read this in forever. And it goes in depth about like all the signs when it pertains to like, you know, sexual chemistry, body and soul, or even time periods when they may kind of like reach their peak or their pinnacle of success. They have men in there as well. So, yeah, I just haven't read it in a while. So, like I said, Sagittarius people, I guess it's just your day. Specifically, I'm talking about Sagittarius women. So, I'm starting from page 413 of this particular book. And it goes on to say that a Sagittarius life is lived in an internal winner's circle. Now, this again is for Sagittarius women. So even if you're a man and you're dealing with a Sagittarius woman, listen up, because I got the keys to success. And though she initially assumes the best in everybody, she has no sympathy when it's proven otherwise. Though native to the zodiacal sign of benevolence, which rings true in certain cases, the abundance consciousness often nonetheless precludes her from altruistic understanding of those less fortunate than herself. This insensitivity shows up in some small ways. For one, she is notoriously dismissive of those in service positions. Waiters, janitors, hotel maids, shop clerks, for instance, again, some, not all Sagittarius women, whom she regards are beneath her. Unable to get that regal Sag brain around the fact that these are just jobs, not evidence of inequality. More obviously, she may shy away from involvement in charitable causes, except maybe to write the occasional check. So apparently they're saying that Sagittarius women are just writing the check so that they look good. I don't know if that's true. Otherwise, she can be guilty of a rather let them eat cake take on abjection. It is as if she is too programmed towards optimism to be consistently aware of pain and suffering. It simply doesn't fit her exalted vision of existence. Likewise, when it comes to choosing a mate, her ruling Jupiter comes startlingly into play, called the higher benefic. The planet brings luck on both the astral and the material planes. Unlike Venus, the lower benefic, which for instance charms the Libra woman's life on ideological astral plane alone, and whereas the scales lady can easily settle in with the starving artist so long as she and her mate lead a principled, creative existence, the Sagittarius woman is not so willing to sacrifice bucks for a beautiful mind. Now, Sagittarius can be so unsubtle in her approach to a man she fancies that at times she might just as well wear a sandwich board announcing her loving interest. The mighty mutable fire of her sign means that Sag gal puts her whole spirit itself into action with an eye on making herself so radiant a presence that a man will be blinded to anyone else. Of course, the Sagittarian rearing determines that she adopts such an ultimately imposing MO. Having missed much in the way of mother-daughter bonding, Sagittarius can't help but overcompensate where issues of femininity are concerned. Lest she fails to realize can actually be more. Just as she notoriously overextends herself in professional spaces, relying too heavily on underlings, often leaving a mess in her wake, so too does she take an inflated view of romantic feelings or relationships. Sag needs to celebrate, even trumpet, the most minute milestone in the progression of a love bond. So, the book is kind of saying that Sagittarius can be a little bit of a love bomber. Could it be the lack of femininity or the lack of masculinity if we're possibly talking about a male? We don't know. Could it be the lack of a mother-daughter pairing or a father-son pairing? We don't know. Could it be the lack of, could it be trying to overcompensate for things that they are lacking? We don't know. It could be all of those things. Okay. A Sagittarius woman teaches the world by example how to truly commemorate our existence. So we're going to move, I mean, and this, it goes into depth, like pages and pages. And I really encourage you guys to read this. Again, it's Sextrology. I will get you the author in just a second. But I want to roll over to compatibility when we are talking about Sagittarius. So if a Sagittarius woman is with an Aries man, when we're talking about Sextrology, she's a clear conveyor of sexual messages. He readily acts upon them. Aries and Sag share a body consciousness. Fitness is often a fetish. Sex is straightforward, spontaneous, no head, but never ho-hum. That's hilarious. I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to pick a Sagittarius woman and a Cancer man. In this pairing, she becomes unpredictable, something he is not equipped to handle. Sexually, she falls into a category. She becomes a fling for him. Not saying all. They share a soulful ideology. She uses sex to fasten his affections. In bed, he'll feel like James Bond. Now, a Sagittarius woman and a, let's go, Pisces, because that's a common one. A Sagittarius woman and a Pisces man. Each requires some solitude to survive this busy, busy bond. Liberation might be their modus operandi. Everything else is secondary. Pisces reassures Sagittarius of her sex appeal. She finds new ways to get him going. They also do have, we'll do another one. If you are a Sagittarius woman and you're dating or you're with a Taurus woman, this is a testimony to the good life. Though Taurus is easily sated by simple luxuries, Sagittarius can help but yearn for more, more, more. If they end up just friends, an erotic connection endures. So pretty much if it's a Sagittarius woman and a Taurus woman, if they break up, we have a sneaky link issue. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a snippet that's in the book, and it goes through those couplings for all the signs. We will probably read more about this for next week unless I find another book that's interesting, but this book has a lot of good information that you guys should absolutely read, and it is by Starsky and Cox, I believe is the name of the author, but really good book. Okay. Like I said, we could probably pick a different sign next time, but I really hope you like that because I always find those interesting. You know, maybe this is just me. No, maybe so. Well, friends, we have reached the end, and shockingly, there is another segment in the podcast that I did not get a chance to do. There's actually two segments. One of them is me doing a celebrity chart reading. I completely forgot to ask about that, ask about suggestions. It won't be super in-depth like on my YouTube channel. It'll be like about 10 minutes just looking at a few placements, but I will make sure to ask questions about that next time. And then the other part of the podcast, I was supposed to do a time in history where I pull up an important time where something happened that kind of like shocked the world, and we look at the energy surrounding that time. I actually was going to do the interview that Princess Diana did, the main one where she revealed that Charles was a cheater, we know that, but I didn't get a chance to do that just because I'm gonna have to get the timing thing down. But I, like I said, I have my layout, so I'm gonna have to break down these segments to a little bit smaller time frames, but I am definitely excited to do that for the next one because I have some ideas. But of course, you guys are more than happy, or more than, I'm more than happy for you guys to leave your voice notes, emails, text, anything of that nature, for suggestions that you guys want me to do for the next episode. But it went, of course, it went better than I expected because I had a plan. So we have come to the end of this episode. I could sit here and talk all day, but I'm just not going to do that. And I know for certain it's been probably at least an hour for this podcast, but we've went over a lot of stuff. We covered a lot of stuff. We even went over an excerpt from an astrology book that you guys didn't even know I had. You know, it just goes further to say I am a basket of secrets. I'm just kidding. But I could go on and on about the mysteries of the universe and astrology and numerology for hours. You guys have seen it. But alas, all good things must come to an end, at least for today. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussions. I hope you enjoyed the topics. Of course, if there is something that you wish I could do differently, don't be afraid to say so. I am open to suggestions. This is kind of new, but not really new. You know, we even took a little bit of a dive into what's coming up for the week, astrologically speaking. Like I said on that segment, I've never did that. And I know it is definitely going to help you guys in whatever way you deem necessary. Okay. And, you know, just make sure that you stay alert, stay aligned for the upcoming week. Don't let life overwhelm you, because it absolutely will do that if you let it. But before I let you guys know, I just want to remind you all that follow your intuition, use discernment as you navigate through these crazy, crazy times. Trust that small voice within you that guides you towards the right path that some of you guys don't listen to, but here, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, and always know, no matter what, it may seem that you're alone, but you're not alone. I'm here with you. You know, we're going through this thing together. And even whenever it may seem like things are getting hot, the stove is getting too hot in the kitchen, the dark is getting a little bit too dark, know that there's somebody near that can be a guiding light, period. It may not seem that way, but it's true. Rather, it could be a motivational tape you listen to. It could just be you writing in a journal just to remind yourself that I'm great and everything is going to be okay. It could be as simple as that. People are close by whenever you need them. You just have to open your mouth. Nobody's a mind reader. I say that to you guys all the time whenever I give you guys readings. I can't read your damn mind. I mean, I can, but I can't read your mind. If something makes you don't like, or if it makes you uncomfortable, I just cannot do it. So we move forward. We, you know, enjoy life. We try not to take it too seriously. We don't, I don't know, have ridiculous expectations of people that you know they ain't gonna meet, because that shit never works, does it? Until next time, I will see you guys again. I don't know if it's gonna be on a Monday. I don't know if that's gonna be our days for the podcast. Personally, I was thinking Sunday, but then things come up on Sundays and I kind of just like to rest, but we'll figure it out. Until then, be kind, rewind, don't be mean, make new friends, shoot your shot, just not today, and we'll see you later.